Going to share a bit of my journey, but also I'm going to be talking a little bit about worship. I was out for a walk a few weeks ago and I was like, God, it's coming up. I'm going to have to share in church. What am I meant to be saying? And God just said to me, share about worship, because that's in your heart and I want you to share your heart. So that's what you got this morning, guys. So most of you do know me, but there's a few newer people here, so I just want to say who I am. I'm Claire, those who don't know you. I'm married to Dave, over there. And we have two girls. We have Rebecca, who is 18, and Ellie, who is 16. Rebecca, she sometimes comes along to church, and so does Ellie. They're both doing exams and college work and partying and all the teenage stuff that teenagers do. So that's my crew. I also have a dog called Toby, who is my third child, just say that. And he's rather gorgeous, I think, anyway. So I was born in Herefordshire, and at the age of three, we moved to Burnham-on-Sea, which is a bit further down the motorway. Well, some of you, or the locals, know it as Burnham-on-Mud, because it's pretty muddy down there. And I lived there with my parents from the age of three until I married Dave, actually. Yeah. So I lived there for quite a long time. As a family, we've always loved music. We've always had music on in the house. I grew up with things like Glen Campbell. I was a big Glen Campbell fan. And Neil Diamond. Those were quite often played in our house. So they became kind of my favourites at one point as well. I was a big Glen Campbell fan, to the point where I wrote to Jim Will Fix It to see if I could sing with Glen Campbell. But it never happened. But that's okay. But I was a huge fan. At the age of eight, I bought my first guitar. And I learnt the guitar, and I used to come home from school, I remember, and I used to practice in my bedroom for like 2 hours every night. I was so dedicated. Don't know if it got me very far, but I was dedicated. And then over the years, so at that time, when I was at school, I was part of a Roman Catholic church, and we used to go to the Roman Catholic church every Sunday with my mum. And they had a folk group, which was quite exciting. So I was part of the folk group, and we used to practice at the convent where the nuns lived, which was really interesting. I used to love going there. So did that. And then as I grew older, and was in my teenage years, I was part of the youth band in one of the other churches. And so music has always been part of my life. It's always been kind of something that has been around me and something that I've been interested in. And as the years went by and things, I ended up leading worship, which was a little bit scary. And I used to be the worship leader at the church that I was in Burnham. And I just grew to love worship. Worship became a real big part of me. And in some ways, it became a bit like my escape. My school years were pretty hard. I was bullied quite a lot, and things weren't easy at school. So actually to just come home and be able to put on some music was my escape. It's kind of what I used as my escape. But God used that a little bit as well to kind of help me and bring me peace and that sort of thing. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what is worship, what's it about, why do we worship, why do we stand here on a Sunday and sing songs, is it just for a sing song? I've heard people say, oh yeah, come along for a sing song, love a sing song on a Sunday morning, but actually what is it about, why do we do it, what is it that makes us want to worship God? I found a psalm. I realise I can't use my phone, so.
Sorry.
I know, but it's very little, so I'm just gonna. So, read it with me, guys. So, it's from the Passion Translation. I love the Passion Translation because for me, I read both. So, I'll read the Bible in, like, I like the New Living Translation, But then I also love the Passion Translation because it just puts it into real easy words for me. I love easy words. So let's read this. Lift up a great shout of joy to God. Go ahead, do it, everyone, everywhere. Worship God with gladness. Sing your way into his presence with joy and realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping our God. He is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. We can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offerings to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. For God is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you, so kind that it will astound you, and he is famous for his faithfulness towards all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. And I read that this week and I was like, I love the words. I love how it phrases things in that. And I love how it says we have a privilege to worship God. We really do have a privilege to be able to worship God the way that we do. There's lots of countries that can't do what we do on a Sunday morning. It is a privilege to be able to openly stand and worship God. And sometimes I think we forget just how privileged we are to be able to do that. And, you know, that's just so amazing, I think. We belong to him. We're his family, guys. We are God's family. We're his children. And he delights in us so, so much. He loves us coming into his presence. He loves us because it's a way of us connecting to him. And I love when it says we are the people of his pleasure. We are his pleasure. We are those people that God looks down and shines, and his face smiles and goes, oh, I love you. Even when we don't love ourselves, God still loves us. Even when things are hard and things are tough, God still loves us. He's not there tutting away. He's there just going, I love you. I love what you're doing. I love who you are. He's up there today saying, I love you, Claire. Well done. Keep going. Worship is a connection between us and God. And sometimes, I think sometimes we kind of need to remember that. It's the connection that we have between us and God. It's a way that we can express our love to him, but also that he can speak to us. I haven't got the verses. Ugh. Okay, but in verse 4 it says that. It says that it's us and God. It's, you know, we pass through his open gates with a password of praise. We come right into his presence with thanksgiving. That's what we can do. As we do that, we connect with God. Our hearts connect with his. But it's always a choice. God isn't up there saying, you must worship me. He's standing there with his arms open, waiting for us. He's not there reading a rule book. He's always ready to receive our worship. He's always ready for us to connect with him. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning. It doesn't matter that it's, you know, it's not being here on a Sunday. That's not where worship always happens, where we connect with God. We connect with God in the week. We connect with God in the evenings. We connect with God anytime. 24/7 we can connect with God. But also, however we feel, it's our choice. And it's also how we feel. However we feel, it doesn't matter. If we don't have to be all happy to be able to connect with God. Things don't have to be going amazing for us to connect with God. We can connect with God through the bad times and the good times. And sometimes we need it even more when it's the bad times. just to hear God's voice. Because as we worship, what happens is our souls connect with God. And our souls are a little bit like a communication center. So we have an input that goes into our soul, and then we have all the emotions that go on around, and then there's an output. So the worship goes in, and then all the emotions and all the things that we feel, because sometimes, you know, when you're in worship, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm in worship, you know, sometimes God can suddenly just touch me, and I'll be like, oh, God. Sometimes I'm crying, sometimes I'm just so happy. And, you know, all those emotions are coming out, but then it's the output. God can speak to us in that, and he can give us, he can speak to us and say, yeah, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. This is the way forward. So one of the ways that worship has really impacted me in my life, and through one thing that happened in my life, is that my mum died. 14 years ago this week, this coming week, my mum died. If I get through this bit, it will be a miracle. My world fell apart. It still does. I was really hoping I wasn't going to cry. I didn't think I was. Okay, just a minute. Okay, so my girls were young, and I felt like my world had literally fallen apart. But I had a choice. We were talking about before about having a choice. I had a choice whether I was going to blame God for what happened to my mum, and just be like, you're useless, you made that happen, how could you let that happen? Or I could throw myself onto him. And I chose the second. I chose to throw myself onto God because I didn't understand. I didn't have the answers. But I knew God loved my mum, knew that he loved me. And I knew that he knew the answers, even though I didn't. He knew what was going on, even though I didn't. He also knew my pain and felt my pain. He knew how I was feeling. And I know that when I was crying, he was crying too. He felt as heartbroken as I did. And it was worship that really pulled me through. It was as I was like, okay, God, I'm not going to blame you because I know it's not. I know that it's not your fault. So I just put on a lot of worship music. I put on music in the house a lot when I was with the kids. I think Ellie was just 2 and Rebecca was 4. Yeah, so the girls were quite little. They were at home with me all day. So, you know, you're just going through life, really. But as I worshipped, or just had worship music on, because that was still going into my soul and still speaking to me, even though it didn't have to be singing, it can just still be speaking to me and going into me. God would just whisper little things like, I love you, it's gonna be okay, I've got hold of you. And just all those little whispers would be enough to carry me through that day. Wasn't it carrying me through the whole time? It would carry me through that day. And I think during that time, I really felt like my worship deepened. I was, I think I was leading the worship team at that time. I think I was. I was definitely part of the worship team in here. And I kept going and kept leading and singing. But I knew it wasn't God. I knew that God knew, but I knew that as I connected with him in worship, that he would give me what I needed. And that was really special. But actually what he also did was deepen that relationship that I had with him through worship. So I began on a bit of a journey during that time of realizing that worship wasn't just a one-way thing. It wasn't just me coming on a Sunday morning and just singing to God. But actually, I realised somewhere amongst all of this that actually, that God wanted to sing back to me. He wanted to sing songs over me. And he wanted to speak to me. And it was two-way. Worship is a two-way thing. It's a dance between us and God. And it's us singing to him, but it's also him singing to us. And that is really, when you grasp that, it kind of deepens your level of worship into a new way, because you're not coming expecting to sing to God, you're coming to hear from God. And that's why during the worship, when we have worship on a Sunday morning, quite often we have people coming up the front with words and pictures and things that God's saying, because God's speaking. People are connecting with God, but God's also connecting with people. It's a way that we can connect with God and hear his voice. And that is why that part is so important. But it isn't just that he can speak to those in the worship team or those, you know, that are leading the service. He can speak to all of us. Every one of us has the ability to hear what God says to them. And also, God wants to speak to every one of us. And if you struggle with hearing God's voice, then come and speak to us, because we want to help you hear his voice more. We want to help you connect with God in a deeper way, because, you know, the world can be quite a scary place out there. And when you look at all the things that are going on and the things that are going on in our lives as well, you know, we don't all have it put together. You know, I certainly don't. But we need to hear God's voice on those things. We need to hear what he wants to say to us. So you might be sat there thinking, well, this is all right, but I'm not actually that bothered about worship. I'm not actually bothered about the sing song on a Sunday morning. I find singing quite hard. And, you know, there's been studies done about actually men in church find it really hard to worship, a lot because of the keys that we use aren't always conducive to men singing. So praise God, we have people like Ben who lead worship in keys that are conducive to men. You know, that there are things, you know, we all sometimes find it hard. But you might be one of those people, and I want to acknowledge that. It might not be your jam, it might not be your thing. But that's okay, because do you know what? It doesn't have to just be Christian songs. God can speak to us through so many other. We have God is creative. We have so many wonderful bands out there. So many wonderful people who write music and are creative. And there's so much, and God can use that. God can use those songs, you know. I know Dave has a Spotify or YouTube playlist of all the songs that God has spoken to him through. Not one of those songs, not many of them, are Christian songs. They're all songs that are secular songs. So don't limit your thoughts of how God can speak to you through music. You know, there's so many wider things. It might not even be that. It might even just be a piece of classical music, or, you know, or a piece of music that's got a really good drum beat, or so many things. Let's open our eyes to what God wants to show us through music and through that thing. I want to show you a video next of I'll just show the video and then I'll talk about it after. It's probably easier.
Bear with me.
know we do. He's doing an amazing job. Give him a little tap.
Hasn't worked yet. Just hold up your applause.
To get the Greatest Showman greenlit, we had to get everyone into New York City to hear a read-through, where we'd read through the script and sing it. We needed the Fox executives, we needed Hugh, we needed the producers, and it took 8 months to get everyone in the room. And once we managed to get this date, Hugh calls me the day before and says
that I had just had a skin cancer cut out of my nose. All was fine. I knew you were worried about it. But I had 80 stitches in my nose, and my doctor said, you're not allowed to sing.
I said, Hugh, who have you told? Because you cannot tell anyone, because no one is flying to New York City to hear you not sing a musical.
Which was a good advice. So the next day, everyone arrives, and I get there, and I explain to everyone why I wasn't singing. I also explained, this was Michael's suggestion, a good one, that I should stand just to be clear to everyone that I will be singing on the day, and gesticulate, and of course act all the scenes.
And you did, yeah. And to Hugh's credit, he did that for every single number. He stood up there, he was the great showman, until one number.
Thank you.
Dave, thanks. I love watching that. If you haven't seen it before, then Google in YouTube, not Google, YouTube, and then Greatest Showman, Making of Songs or something like that. There's two, there's that one, and then there's another one of This Is Me. And the This Is Me one, I cannot watch without crying. I just can't, it's just so good. So go watch them if you haven't seen them. But to me, that just shows, well, the first time, I remember the first time I saw that, it's quite an old clip, because obviously the film's quite old now. The first time I saw it, I was like, wow. How, just, you could just see that something changed in them. That they suddenly were like, oh my gosh. And they were worshipping. You know, something was touching their hearts. And, you know, how amazing if that's how we were in church on a Sunday morning. How amazing if God touched our hearts like that on a Sunday morning, and that was like our worship on a Sunday morning. How amazing if we saw church like that. I want to see church like that. I want to see our worship like that. I want to see God just completely coming into this room and filling this place with his Holy Spirit, and for us to just be like, God, this, we love you. That is my heart. That is my passion. I haven't been part of the music team for a little while. I'm back in it now. But my heart has never, ever changed. Never. Just because I wasn't in the music team, it still was the same. I was still like, God, I love you, and I want to worship you with every fibre of my being. That is what my heart is. I love God so much, and I love all the things that he's done for me, and how faithful he's been, and how true he's been, and how he's carried me, and how he's loved me. And I just want to give a little bit back to him in my worship and say, you're so good. You're so wonderful. And that shows me, that video clip shows that it doesn't have to be songs on a Sunday morning. God can come in and swipe through in our homes, in wherever we're at. He will meet us wherever we're at. I believe that worship gives us the ability to communicate with God on a deeper level, more than just words. It's deeper than just words, because there's that connection, that real deep connection within us, between us and God. And that impacts us. That really, truly can impact our souls, our being, impact our hearts, but also can be what we need to take us into the following week, take us into the following situation, whatever we're dealing with. When we have a relationship with God, or when you have a relationship with anybody, you know, if you have your children, you know, if you've got children, then you want to tell them how much you love them. If you've got friends, you want to tell them how much you love them. And that's important, isn't it? It's important to tell people how much we love them and how much we care for them, and how important they are to us. And that's the same as our relationship with God. He wants us to hear how much we love him. And he wants to tell us how much he loves us. I think I said that right, but you know what I mean. We're going to just play another song. But with everything that I've kind of talked about with worship, let's just worship God in this. Not that you haven't already, but just give him the opportunity. It might have been something a bit fresh that you've heard today, something that I've talked about worship. There might be a key that you think, oh yeah, I've not thought about that. Or, oh yeah, I want to remember to do that. Let's just worship God and just connect with him. If you want to stay seated, stay seated. If you want to stand up, stand up. If you want to grab a flag, grab a flag. If you want to dance, dance, whatever it is. You know, these flags, you might think they look pretty, but actually, when I come up and I wave a flag, I know I'm not a great flag waver. I know I'm not the best. Susie is amazing, and Emily's pretty good too, but they can do all the turny round things. I think if I turn round, I'm going to be in a heap on the floor, so I my feet stay fairly still. But actually, when I come up and I wave these flags, it's because I believe that God wants to break something or do something, or I'm just like, God, yes, this is what you're saying. So they do have a purpose, but you don't have to be amazing to wave one. You really don't. Take it from me, who is not an amazing flag waver. I love waving a flag, but it's because I believe God is saying something. Last Sunday, I was sat in church and I was like, and God was going, I think you should wave a flag. And I was like, I don't think I should wave a flag. And he's like, I think you should wave a flag with Susie. And I was like, well, two's better than one. And but Susie's really good at waving a flag and I'm not very good at waving a flag. And he was like, I want to break something. I want to do something. But actually, I believe that those things kind of a symbolic of something. God does something when people wave flags. You know, I know when Susie waves a flag, quite often Dave gets really emotional just because it's special. God does something in it. Not that you have to, you can just wave a flag, it's fine. But I just wanted to add that bit in. But anyway, so we're going to worship with one more song and then we will close. But thank you for listening to me today. And I hope that you have taken a little something away from what I have shared.